The Culture Proof Podcast thanks BJU Press Homeschool, our premier sponsor. We are super excited about biblical worldview woven into every subject that we teach. We are also excited about the BJU Press Homeschool secret sauce. I'm talking about the homeschool consultants who are spread all across the country, who once you purchase your curriculum, don't leave you to figure it out by yourself. They are there for you and with you on your homeschooling journey. I cannot recommend more highly BJU Press Homeschool, that comes equipped with homeschooling consultants who are praying for you, who are walking alongside you as you disciple and train your kids and ready them to live in a culture that is hostile to truth. Visit our friends today at BJUPressHomeschool.com. That's BJUPressHomeschool.com. Tell them that the Addison sent you. Thanks for listening to Culture Proof. I'm Miki.
And I'm Will.
And today we are discussing a Christian Post article that was out a few days ago looking at some new Pew information that suggests that the majority of Americans say that religion is losing its influence in public life. Mm. Religion is losing its influence in public life. What are your thoughts? Just the title, like just the headline there. Religion is losing its influence in public life.
Yeah, just look around us. I would say I'm not surprised by that title. Mm-hmm. I would say, I agree with that. And I think it's just based upon us not generationally handing down the true way of living as far as being a Christian. Mm. I think over time, things have gotten so dulled down and, you know, maybe like in our homes and our families, mm-hmm. we haven't done a good job of passing down the faith, that I think as on a whole, when you think about religion in this country, I think, you know, there's a moving away from it being influential like it was.
Yeah. So I guess my thing, like my thought on it would be we say that religion is losing its influence in public life. I almost feel like religion has lost its influence in public life. But I know that sounds a little bit fatal. Like it sounds like just pack it up and go home because there's no way we can win. But my thought about the proliferation of the gospel or how the gospel has spread is that when it seems like all is lost in mm-hmm. the darkest of cultures, the light of the gospel breaks forth. And so I think there's hope in that for us as Christians living in America. And by the way, I really think that's the best way to describe us. It provides the right amount of tension for us to think about what it really means for us to exist in the world, that as Christians, that's our chief, first and foremost identity. And we happen to live in America, right? Yeah. And so the Lord has placed us here. And with all of the challenges that we face now, these are our challenges. Mm-hmm. Meaning this is the generation, this is the culture, this is the time that the Lord has placed us in, and he has given us a work to do. Mm. But I would say that religion has lost its influence in American society, in public life. I think if there's anything that makes us think that it's losing its influence, it would be the almost sort of like a humanist thought of morality that is still reflected, and people think that that is religion, right? So it would be your common niceties that are still happening mm-hmm. In public life. You know, maybe we have some decorum, maybe we have some, you know, formalities to the way that we operate. And I think people would say that that's religion reflected in that. But I think largely on questions and issues of morality, when you look at the society as a whole, I think we have lost our moral underpinnings. I don't even think that when we have questions about the decline in America, mm-hmm. we go back to the straight edge. Mm-hmm. I think it is, well, that's just not our way of life. That is not what we have done. We will say things like that's inconsistent with science, right? Mm-hmm. Which again does point to God, but we won't overtly call upon the name of God. We won't overtly refer back to the Bible as the manual, it's sort of like, you know, getting back to a good time, which if you trace it back, goes back to the word of God being authoritative, but the outflow of that has just been good people doing good stuff.
Yeah. So whose fault is that, that the influence has been lost? So, I would have to say that if we as Christians are tasked to be salt and light, then it's the fault of the church that the influence has waned or is lost, because we are supposed to be the ones, you know, when you think about the book of Acts, those men who turned the world upside down. That's the effect that you have as Christians. Or they came and brought their magic books and things like that to burn. Like, that's the effect that Christians have upon a culture or our society or a community. So if there is a losing or... if we have lost our influence, if religion has lost the influence on the society, it's because of the church, of not being salt and light.
Man, I think you're right. And how sad an indictment is that? And how disheartening is that? Because when you think about the nation that we have all inherited, and you think about what God did in raising up this nation, it's sort of like he entrusted something great to us.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
And so for Bible believing Christians to have squandered that is really sad. I think it's one of those things of it's like a Deuteronomy 8 type thing. You know, you come into this good land and the Lord our God is with us. And again, I'm not saying that America is Israel. Please don't hear me saying that.
Right.
I'm just saying that there are some obvious patterns to man's rejection of God. When things go well, when you're doing well, when, you know, when the gray skies clear up, you know what I mean? Then you forget the Lord your God. And that was a clear warning that the Lord gave to Israel, that when I'm bringing you into this land that I've promised you, and it's a good land, and you're going to do well, you're going to build houses, you know, but don't forget me, because if you forget me, you turn away, you're going to turn to other gods, right? And I'm going to have to judge you because I'm God, right? Yeah. And I'm consistent in my character and my nature. And I think about that in the context of the United States of America. If we were a nation that was founded on the conviction that God is, and that he's the moral lawgiver, and all of our laws, the good ones that still remain, point to the holiness of God. They point to the character and the nature of God. And when we see a country in decline, like we are in decline, and a moving away from moral conviction, we are a country that's under judgment. And I'm going to make my case. I want to look at this Pew study here and look at some of the numbers. But I'm going to make my case for why I believe we are in decline and under judgment. And just hint, hint, it has an awful lot to do with our value system. When you can look at a nation and see what that nation values, and it's not something that's valuable, right? Then that nation has really been turned over to itself to uphold and to push those reprehensible, quote unquote, values, and to push them as if they are valuable, right? To say, this is what we hold dear, and this is as American to us as pie, you know?
But
it's as apple pie, amen. but it's trash. Then I think that is one of the indicators that we are under the Lord's judgment.
So are you of a mindset, because I know that there are a couple of mindsets as far as, you know, a country declining and coming back to God, or get, you know, being revived. Are you of the mindset of, man, I really anticipate or think there will be a great awakening? Or are you the mindset of, man, this is judgment, and I don't think there's any coming back from where we are, that, you know, just judging where we are and looking at the word, maybe that this is it. Like, what mindset would you be of?
Man, God doesn't owe us that. So that's my first thought. My first thought is that the Lord has been incredibly gracious to us as a nation, just incredibly gracious. My God, he has, and I mean that with respect. He has been incredibly gracious to us. He has lavished so much on us as a nation. We don't deserve it, and we didn't deserve it from the beginning. But in his mercy, he saw fit to do what he has done in the founding of this country. So I would say God doesn't owe us a revival or an awakening. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He doesn't owe us that. So that's the first thing I would say. Second thing I would say is that if there were to be another great awakening, mm-hmm. you know, or a major revival, if you want to call it that, in this country, I think we have to ask an additional question. And I think that question is, how bad are we willing to have it get? Mm. Like how much can we endure to get to that place of revival? Because if you look at the pattern of Israel's history and you look at the cycle and you see this reflected in the Judges, right? Like there's this cycle of, you know, they turn away from God and the Lord beckons them back. They resist. Mm-hmm. And so the Lord judges them. And in different ways, he brings them into the hands of their enemies. Then he raises up a deliverer because they cry out to him. And then the Lord brings them back. They have a time of peace. Things are good. Then they turn to themselves and they turn away from God and then turn to idol worship. Mm. And then the Lord raises up nations against them to judge them, to bring them to their knees. They repent. He brings them back. You see where I'm going with this, right? Yeah. And so, but the question is, and I think there's something that's important to look at when you look at what Israel was doing. It was when it got that bad, mm-hmm. when it got that bad, then they saw themselves as they really were in rebellion against God. And they remembered that there is a God in heaven who has a relationship with them that they are transgressing. Mm. And so then they would turn back collectively. Mm. So if the question is, well, will we have another revival? Will we have another great awakening? I don't know. That's the one, you know, sentence answer. But with this caveat, I would say if we do have a revival or an awakening, because that would mean a collective return to the Lord. That would mean a collective sorrow. That would mean a collective mourning. That would mean that we all see ourselves as we really are, that we have transgressed against the Lord. We have sinned against God. And it would be a humility that we would say we deserve his judgment. But we cry out begging the Lord to have mercy on us. I think if we want to talk about, oh, the revival that's coming, there's going to be another great awakening. I think we have to ask ourselves, what are we willing to endure to get there? Because I think in order to get there, it's got to get a lot worse. And people would say, well, it's bad already. And I'm sure Israel would have said that. I'm sure Israel would have said it's bad already. But the Lord brought them to a place of humility where else are you going to go? You've come to the end of yourself and trying to glean from the nations around you and borrow from, you know, all of those influences. And so now what are you going to do? And they would turn back to him. I think in this country, and again, we are not Israel. That's not what I'm saying. Right. But the Bible says that the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through the patience of the scriptures, we might have hope, right? Yeah. And yeah. So I look at that and I say, if there is to be a collective revival in this country, if there is to be another great awakening, then the question is, how bad do you want it to get? How bad do you want it to get? You could say it doesn't have to get that bad. You could say we see it, Lord, and we repent. But I'm going to tell you, listen, the thing about the shaking of the Lord is that it's not, you know, because we always want those people over there to be shaken. Mm-hmm. It's always those people over there who they have forgotten God. And we do not explore all of the ways that we have forgotten God, you know, that we have turned away. You know, I think of Josiah and I think of rediscovering the law and the mourning was that we have done this. Like, man, we have forgotten God. We have turned away. And I don't know that we are ready or willing as a nation to do that. You know, there are pockets that we would say they have turned away. Look at what they have done. Yeah. But we're not willing to explore the idols that we erect in our life, even as Christians who are endeavoring to live faithfully. For example, if you believe that your rescue is going to come through politics, you've created an idol. Are you willing to submit that to the Lordship of Christ, humble yourself before him and say, oh, I have sought another savior. Are you willing to do that? Right, you know what I mean? Right. Like, I don't know that we're willing to do that. Are we willing to say that we have built comfortable homes that have become these, you know, towers that keep us from serving the Lord? You know what I mean? Because I mean, far be it from us to be uncomfortable, right? Like, I just don't know that we're willing to do that. Now, I will tell you, man, there is a great intensity in what we have suffered in this country. And I know I'm going on. This is such a long answer to your question. I'm so sorry.
Revival or no?
This, I know. Like, what's your mindset? Watch when I ask you the question. Watch when I ask you the question. And this just perpetuates the mocking. Like, so people are going to be like, man, she just goes. Rah, rah, rah. Thank you for wanting to hear me talk, though. Thank you for caring about my commentary on things. Okay. Anyway, I lost my point. And people are grateful. They're like, yay, there is a God in heaven. She lost her point. But no, I would just say, you know, I think that this is sort of like the million-dollar question. We keep asking this question. I've heard this question a lot and even surveyed it, and people have arrived at conclusions about whether or not they think that there's going to be another revival in this country. My question would be, my response to the question would be a question. How bad are you willing for it to get?
Yeah.
You know, are you willing to survey yourself and see all of the ways that you have contributed to the rebellion and the ways that we transgress against a holy and righteous God, presenting ourselves as very ungrateful for his benevolence and his love and kindness and his mercy? And, you know, are we all willing to collectively repent? You know, how many generations of our children do we have to lose before we turn to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, you know, they've gone from deconstructing to reconstructing something called side B. So so how many of those things, you know, do we have to observe before we get on our face and say, Lord, you know, I have made you too small in my eyes. I've exalted myself. I've exalted my comforts, exalted my nation. The thing that was meant to be a blessing for the proliferation of the gospel has become an idol. We have not stewarded this country well. Anyway, I could go on, but I won't. So what about you? So let me ask you the question. God bless you being married to me. What do you think? Do you think that there's another revival? It's interesting how this podcast has shifted here because this is not where we were going.
Yeah,
but now I feel like this is where we're going. Okay, well, go ahead. Are you thinking right now about summer camp for your 8th to 12th grade students? Well, we want to invite you to allow your kids to join us and our entire family for a week of summer camp in North Carolina. That's right. This is the third year that we will be at the North Carolina Refuge. Yes. We are super excited about a week of culture proofing, July 21st through the 26th. We are going to discuss biblical worldview. We're going to train your kids in biblical worldview, and we are not holding back. We are going to defend the truth of Scripture. We are going to look to the Word of God for how we engage the culture. Yes. Our aim is to ready kids to be able to live in this world while not having this world live in them. You can learn more by going to ncrefuge.org. That's ncrefuge.org. We will be there with all of our children and even a few mayflies.
Maybe just a few.
Just a few.
But you know what? Great times of worship, great times of fellowship. It's just going to be a great time. So sign your kid up today.
ncrefuge.org, ncrefuge.org. If you've got questions, you can email us mail@cultureproof.net. That's mail@cultureproof.net.
Well, I would say similar to what you're saying. I mean, you know, I don't know if we could know that. We can pray and ask the Lord for that he would awaken this place, that he would revive this country. You know, because when you read about revivals, some of the things that were happening before the awakening, man, it was terrible.
Yes, that's right.
You know, so
that's right.
I mean, you know, we look at what we are and we're saying, but not like that. But it was terrible.
It was
like,
terrible.
Things were happening. It that's was right. like pretty bad, you know.
And yeah, I think about the empty homes.
Yeah.
And I think about the filled bar rooms and all of this and husbands beating their wives and the cries. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was pretty bad. But God, you know, showed some mercy and grace, you know, and poured out his spirit. But then there's the other mindset of like, man, you know, it's just to have, we have a feel that this is the end, you know? So, you know, I would say for me, you know, while I believe we should pray for God's mercy and grace, pray for, you know, an awakening and for that to happen. But at the same time, we don't deserve it, or mm-hmm. it's not something that he is obligated to do.
Yeah.
You know, and man, we know that the scripture tells us that things will get worse and worse, mm-hmm. you know. So in the midst of that, we ought to be faithful. We ought to be, you know, those ones who have our oil in our lamps.
Amen.
We need to be ready, you know. So those are the things, you know, whether there's a revival before he comes or not, mm-hmm. you know, like, man, we have to be faithful.
Yeah.
We have to be faithful. And so I guess that's how I would answer that.
Do you think that we've seen the great falling away? Maybe we've seen like a type of falling away, but
man,
do you think that we have seen
great question.
The great falling away? It feels like
know.
It.
Yeah, I feel like we're in the midst of.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this is the great falling away or if it's the beginning of the great falling away. But mm-hmm. I feel like we're in the midst of that happening, where you see all the things that when you look at the church and you see all the things that's going on, it's like, man, what's going on? What's
yeah.
happening?
It like, almost seems like, well, what's left to fall? Like, what's yeah, where do we have left to go?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, I don't know if this is like it, the great falling away. Some people may say, of course it is. And some may say, well, you know, there's more to come for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we are definitely experiencing, you know, a falling away in real time.
Yeah.
That's the thing. In real time, I think we're seeing some things happen.
Yeah.
And I wrote a post on Facebook. I was like, man, you know, if the Lord spares and there's generations after us,
yeah.
they're going to look back and look at this generation and say, oh, man, what where was the church?
Yeah.
What was going on with the church?
Yeah.
Wait. Men were saying that they were women and women. Like,
come on.
So where was the church?
Yeah.
You know, where was the entity that turned the world upside down? Where were, you know, the people, So I think, man, we are living in a time right now, and it feels like it's a historical like moment. Like mm-hmm. it's a time where, man, what the church has to arise, and we have to be who we are called to be. We have to work while it is day, like right now. Because man, we're living in a time that's confused and it's, there's a lot of wickedness and, mm-hmm. and lawlessness and things going on. But in the midst of that, the remnant, the church is still here.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was just thinking, and I was trying to pull it up because I seem to remember, from church history and mm-hmm. my goodness, I wanted to get some exact dates on this, but I seem to remember, from church history mm-hmm. that there was a time where in the history of the church, the Muslims were advancing. Mm. And the question at that time was, what was going on with the church? Mm. Like, you know, where were we and what was happening? And I feel like I remember that there were these councils and these meetings going on during this time where they were discussing what their religious garb would look like and how their hair would be cut.
Man.
And I wish I could have pulled up the specifics wow. on that, because I think that's so important. But wow. to your point, you know, when the question is, okay, you know, what will it look like mm-hmm. if there are generations after us mm-hmm. and they look back, you know, at 21st century America,
right.
And they look at the great decline, you know, I think the question will be, where was the church?
Mm.
To your point. Like, right. I do think
where
that will be
the
question. Like, where, what were you guys doing
in the midst of all of this? And I think, you know, there will be historical notes of ones who stood.
Yes.
You know, just like we look back at church history.
Yes.
And we see different figures. You know, it's like, man, they stood in their generation, in
yes.
their time. You know, like they. But when you look back, it may seem like it was not that many.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like, whoa, like what's going on? You know, so, yeah, I think that's interesting to even think about, because I feel like we're living in a time in real time where things are happening, and we have to right now be who God called us to be.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I'm going to have to look that information up. I should have this at the ready to go. And I just found the presentation that I was thinking about where they were deciding like what, but I don't have the facts around that. And so rather than communicate that ignorantly, I better wait so that I can communicate that rightly. All right. But yeah, no, I really do think that if we are to consider the question, will there be another revival?
Mm-hmm.
The question is, I think, how bad do we want it to get? you know? And then can we be revived right now? You know, like, can we stand up as the church and say, without, without regard for our personal safety, can we stand up right now and say something is wrong? Something is, that is not true. That rivals the holiness of God. You know, because I think what we're waiting for is we're waiting for the protection of, like, the swell of numbers. Because if you get a swell of numbers, say, like, you know, in a revival or in another great awakening, then you get to be among the mass of people all saying the same thing, not realizing that what happens is that you've got one person starts to say, then another person starts to say. But if you live in a time and in a context where no one wants to be the first one or two or three or four or five, like, no one wants to be the one losing his or her job over this. That's what we saw happening during the time of COVID. It was, I don't want to get this shot, but I don't want to lose my job. And you've got other people going, listen, I am willing to lose my job. And they did. And they did. And then you look back on it and it's like, turns out we were right. We couldn't have been fired over that. Like, that should not have happened.
Right.
But you got to have enough people who are willing to create, you know, that kind of momentum. And I don't know, maybe that's a part of what, you know, leads to a revival. Maybe that's a part of what leads to an awakening, is that each person in our individual homes have a revival. Like, you know, we want a revival again. And I said this already, but we want a revival over there. We want a revival with them. But, like, we don't want a revival in our individual homes, like, within our own families, you know, where we return to the holiness of God, where we say, oh, I'm thinking about our old clips, like, you know, these individual revivals, Lord, I have minimized you. Like, that's the truth. That's the reality. You know what I mean? And I don't know if we feel that, you know, I think we want other people to be better. We want other people to be right. And so because we want other people to be right, we don't inspect ourselves. We don't say, Lord, do I need a revival? Do I need an awakening? And honestly, I think if we did do that, we would discover that we do need it. We do need a revival.
We do need
an awakening.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm not, you know, portraying the holiness that you've called me to. If that starts to happen, I see it like lights coming on in houses all across this country. You know, you see one light coming on in the living room and there you go. And then you see another light popping on. And what you have is you have an awakening happening in those homes. And then it spreads from there. I think the problem is thinking that an awakening is a bunch of people all at one time gathered in a stadium, all of a sudden recognizing, oh, we've made too little of God. That's not it, though. I think what it is it's individual people saying, oh, God, we have truly minimized you. We have made you too small in our eyes. Here in this family. In the way that I do or don't honor my husband. In the way I do or don't love my children. And the way I do or don't serve my local assembly. Oh my goodness, why can't we love our local assemblies? We are so busy, and our culture has driven this. Like, we are so busy looking for the national platform, and we are so busy following the national platforms. Like, we have so many internet pastors who cannot give a proper account for the souls of men. They have no idea who you are. They don't care about your soul. They don't know you. Right? They don't know that you watch their videos and consider yourself a member of their church. But you've got local churches, my goodness, that the Lord has called us to be active participants in, that we're supposed to all be together, building one another up until we all reach unity in the faith.
That's right.
Ephesians 4.
Yeah.
You know, and why aren't we doing that? You know, because we don't recognize that we need a revival.
Wow.
You know what I mean? We don't know that we need to return to the authority of God's word.
Wow. No, yeah, definitely. We need personal revival. I think revival, we should look for an awakening in our homes across this country. You know, and man, you talked about, you know, some things as far as it seems like there has to be courage in the life of the believer to withstand the things that are being thrown at us from this culture. You know, to be willing to be counted, you know, like the Hebrew boys that said, I'm not going to eat, you know, this food from the king's table. You know, well, we don't want to be that one, that two, that three.
No.
You know, we want to be among the masses in the crowd that say, I'm not doing it. But what if you're amongst like two people or one person that you're the only one? You know, are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say no when everyone is saying yes?
Yeah.
You know, those type of things. I think, you know, really surveying our heart and saying, Lord, do I need to be revived? You know, am I willing to pay the price, you know, for serving you in a very real way, you know? And I think when we look at it, we can see like there's some deficiencies.
Yeah.
And that we would cry out to the Lord and say, revive me, O Lord. Revive me. Start with me.
Man, you know, it's amazing because when you think about it, I actually think there's a metric. I think there's a way for us to measure if we are in need of revival. I really do. And the way I think we measure if we're in need of revival is by measuring whether or not we are actively following Christ. And if the Lord says that John 8:31-32, you know, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine and you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. If the word says that the robust disciple, the active follower of Christ, the one who would express an allegiance to Christ, who would show a loyalty to the kingdom, right? If that is expressed in obedience and submission to his word, I think that we can measure that. We can ask ourselves, man, am I loyal to Christ? Am I loyal to the kingdom of God? Am I a defector? Have I defected living in 21st century America or whatever country you're a Christian living in, with respect to our listeners all around the world, whatever country you are listening in and you are a Christian in that country, you represent a kingdom that is not of this world.
Amen.
And so I think what keeps happening though, is that a lot of Christians make themselves very comfortable in this world as if this is the kingdom. And so that would effectively make you a defector. Like you have left the kingdom of your home. You know what I mean? At least in heart, at least in practice. And so I think if we can look at ourselves and survey ourselves in that way and say, you know, have I rejected the truth of God's word in exchange for what is culturally normative? Am I living beneath the standard that my king has set for me? If those answers are yes, then you need a revival. You need an awakening. And that means that it starts with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That means that it will start with you.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. I think that's how we have to look at these things in an individual way as well, you know, because we can be guilty of just desiring the mass, you know, type of things happening, the big crowd, you know, where, and God can do that if he desires to do that. But what about that personal relationship, that revival within our heart, you know, and us seeing the lack in us and saying, God, you know, help me. And so that I think that's where we do need to start. And that revival will begin right within us.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. I'll say this as we wrap up this episode. This is totally not where we were going to go. And so I trust the Lord. let's talk next time about the pew information. Man, I trust the Lord that, you know, we needed to talk about revival and individual revivals. But I will say this, though. I think that when we return to the Lord, or if we are to return to the Lord and have those individual revivals and those awakenings, and as I said, we would survey whether or not we are holding true to God's word, that is going to mean that we read it. My conviction and my individual revivals have all been the result of reading God's word. Like the conviction, it's not just been, you know, I'm sitting in my room or I'm just going, it has been in reading God's word, I discover an area where I am deficient. And I go, oh Lord, I'm not doing that. Lord, I'm not thinking in that way. I am not trusting in that way. Mm-hmm. When the Lord has convicted me of sin in my life, right? Like even the most subtle rebellion to delay doing what God tells you to do, to know what is right, but to kind of like reason or rationalize why you shouldn't do it at this moment. And like, you know, the Lord understands. Yeah, he does. And he says, obey, right? That has all come through God's word, reading his word and holding myself up against it. That's why we call it the straight edge, like saying, you know, how am I looking compared to this? You know, I don't think there can be a revival if we don't hold God's word up. And I am going to tell you, man, we got a lot of popular teachers and influencers who people believe that they've experienced a revival because they adhere to that popular teacher's teachings. And I'm going to stay on this, by the way, so get used to it. Okay. But Jesus said, if you continue in my word, you're truly disciples of mine.
That's right.
Now you can be a disciple of your popular internet person. You can be a robust follower of your popular internet person. If that's what you're going for.
Right.
I don't think many people are going for that. I think people are going for disciple of Christ, but when they determine that that's too difficult, they'll take disciple of, I don't know, inner popular name here. You know what I mean? And not call it that, still call themselves a disciple of Christ because this person is teaching the word of God, but still refusing, the follower, refusing to go to the word of God. So if there's to be individual revival, if there's to be an awakening, that is going to come when we return to God's word. And the Holy Spirit says, here are the ways that you have rebelled against me. Here's the case that I have against you personally, right? Like, do you see yourself in Romans 1? You know, and a lot of people don't because they get past like 18, 19, 20 and they say, okay, that's not me. They get to 26, 27 and they say, okay, that's not me. And my thinking is just continue reading. Like if you like, so don't stop at the big billboard ones where you say, okay, cleared those hurdles. You know, I jumped over those, success. Verse 28, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness. Okay, so here are the smaller, I'm joking when I say this, but I think this is how some people see it. Here are the honorable mentions. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like the people are like, the big ones are like, you know what I mean? You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Idolatry, homosexuality, come on, right? But then they stop there and they're like, I cleared all of those, so I'm good, right? I don't need a revival. But if you continue on, the honorable mentions, okay? Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed. Greed. Guys, the ubiquity of social media and the ability for people to post everything about themselves all the time has caused a type of greed and covetousness that Christians ignore because it's culturally normative.
Yeah.
Some of you, I'm just going to say this, okay? Some of you need to take a break from social media because it's affecting your relationship with Jesus. And you don't even know it. Some of you are in sin because of social media, but don't even know it, right? Because again, well, it's not idolatry, but isn't it though? Maybe it's greed. Maybe it's covetousness. Okay, so back to this. Romans chapter 1, verse 29. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips. That's in the list in Romans 1? Yeah, that's in the list in Romans 1. You know what I mean? Like when we read Romans 1, we're like, no, it's for those people. Those people need to understand that the wrath of God has appeared to all men. Those people.
Right.
Okay. Those people include the gossips. All right. And I'll just continue here. Slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Guys, if we went through that list and said, okay, do I need a revival? Am I in rebellion against God? Do I have areas of my life that I've not submitted to the Lordship of Christ? Lord, awaken me again. Awaken me again. I think we'd see ourselves in Romans 1.
No, that's a great point. And I think you're right. You know, we look over those little things. So say little things, but they're big. And they're more pronounced in our lives if we would just look at them. And it's such a true point that we look at Romans chapter 1 as the, you know, pointing out the homosexual sin chapter, you know. And yes, it does that. But man, like you said, disobedient to parents.
Oh my goodness.
It talks
what?
About that. Gossips.
Whoa,
what?
Whoa.
You know, so those things are you know, to be surveyed as well. Mm. You know, we need to make sure that we're not overlooking those things and saying, you know, no, the bigger stuff, the stuff that they do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
not the stuff that we do.
Think about it. Like, can you imagine the in God's case against humanity, he lists disobedience to parents, and we create a whole movement of gentle parenting that allows for kids to do whatever they want.
Wow.
Wow. And we say we want a revival.
Wow.
And Christians are actually being discipled by secular psychologists. And so you've got people who hate God. They are telling Christians how to raise their kids. And the Christians are taking their cues from those who hate God. And so the Christians are reducing their standard. They are living below the standard of holiness that God has set for them, and they believe that they are doing what's good for their kids. We will do an entire show on that. But I'm just saying, when we say we want a revival, you know, or we say, what's it going to take to get a revival, to see a great awakening in this country? How bad do we want it to get? Are we willing for the revival to start with us?
That's good.
That's my question. When we, all of us, when we resist those cultural trends that rival the truth, we, all of us, remain culture proof. Until next time, Lord willing.
God bless.